morning. And for Psalm 119, verse 30. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 9, if the Bible was given vocal cords where it could actually speak to you, it would speak Proverbs 8 and 9. But in 9, I want to look at something here where it says 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath mingled, or she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Okay, so notice verse 4. This individual wants to understand something. And then in verse 6, he says they got to go in the way. The way, there's a path. A way, the way of understanding. So there's a path towards this understanding. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 30. Just one verse. Psalm 119, verse 30. Okay, this one says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. So the one in Psalm says, I've chosen. This person actually chose. He analyzed something. And I chose this way. The way of truth. At the end is truth. The way is the path towards truth. And in the Proverbs, it's understanding the truth. The idea of both of them has the way and then truth, and understanding the truth is at the end of the way. Okay, so that's the thought where I want to head this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these ideas. Help us to see that you said you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Help us to understand this and grasp this and be able to explain to somebody, why do you believe what you believe? Well, it's because of this. And I pray you'd help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you would, go ahead and turn to John 18. Okay, the idea of this morning is often an argument around by secular humanists is, what about people who have never heard the name of Jesus? What about people who have never been given the opportunity to learn some things that Americans have learned? Are you telling us that they're going to be judged and all that stuff? Okay, there's a certain path that all of us are obligated to follow or go down. We're at the beginning of this path. Now, it doesn't matter. Your upbringing is not of importance in this, okay? You could be raised in a Methodist church, Lutheran church, Catholic church, Baptist church. You could be raised atheist, Satanist, secular humanist, Muslim, Taoist, Buddhist. It doesn't matter, okay? You can be raised in the jungles of the Philippines or New Guinea. It doesn't matter where this person has been raised, what he has been taught, he or she. This is a path that God is directly involved with everybody. John 1 verse 9 says that Jesus has lighted the heart of every man. Everybody. Okay, maybe a person was given more opportunity where they had more Bible preaching to them. Okay, but still, this is the same path we're all going to have to follow. Now, unfortunately, some folks at the beginning of this path exit it. Some folks down the road, they might get a couple ideas, a couple truths, and then get off the path. And this is what Pilate did in John 18, verse 37. Unfortunately, this is the reaction of most people. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? That was a question. Now, if somebody asks you a question, should they not wait around for the answer? And I've experienced a lot of people like this, especially educated folk. So he says, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews. He walked away. He didn't wait for the answer. So Pilate had an opportunity to continue to travel down this way to meet truth, and he got off the road. Unfortunately, that's where most people are. Okay? And so the idea is, how far down that way of truth? Now, this way towards truth. Now, truth, once you get to the end, truth branches out where you got different areas of truth. Okay? But the idea is that Pilate got off the road. He had the opportunity right in front of him, the way, the truth, and the life, and he got off the road. So, there are, basically, in Proverbs, it said seven pillars. And I don't know specifically what the seven pillars are. Seven is obviously a very unique number in the Bible. Okay, but these, we're going to start right at the beginning of where somebody needs to face something. And these statements running through, if I'm going to give seven, I don't know. It's like a person analyzing. Okay, and so The first idea that a person has to analyze, choose from, is, how'd you get here? Okay, here I am. I'm on the planet. Now, maybe I got a hula hoop, skirt, I don't know how he's raised, wherever he's raised. Maybe I got a bone stuck on my nose, like from Africa. Maybe I'm all three-piece suit, where I was dressed all in a rich home and all that. It doesn't matter. The first thing you got to consider is, how'd I get here? Okay, so that's the start of the Bible. Now, obviously, with the knowledge of the Bible, we can go back to that. But a person doesn't have to know the Bible. He can be raised Muslim. He can be raised secular humanist. He can be raised atheist. He can be raised like a family I knew down in Wheatfield where their family night was rolling joints. That was a family night. And a kid got bad grades, and mom and dad said, well, you can't smoke this week. Oh, come on, get my better grades. That was family night with them. Okay, that's how they were raised. They don't know anything different. Or up in Wisconsin, when I went up to Wisconsin as a kid, we'd go up there and met a couple families and we would arrange our vacation. To them, drinking a beer was like drinking soda. They called it a soda up there. And I was, 14 years old, whopping 5'2" tall, just a huge kid, 5'2" at 14 years old. And he said, Dave, you want a beer? I said, what? Are you serious? That blew me away. But to them, that was nothing. They knew nothing about that. And so where do we start? Okay, the starting is right at the beginning, right face up, look at it. How did I get here? Accidentally, through eons of time, did it happen where nothing created something out of nothing? That's one method. The other is somebody put it here. That's your only two choices. George Wald wrote the introduction to 1971 edition of Origin of the Species, and he said there are only two possibilities we got here. One is spontaneous generation. That's really an impressive word, spontaneous generation. I won't charge you for that one. That's just a big word for evolution. That's just a big fancy way of saying nothing created something out of nothing. How did that happen? Okay, it's not scientific. That's your two choices. That's what George Wald said. He said that's one spontaneous generation. The other is creation. That's what this evolutionist said. But he said, we can't choose this one. We can't choose this one. Why? Because he'd lose his tenure on this side. Okay, so no matter what, logically, if a person thinks it through and you use your five senses of what you see, what you touch, what you hear, I mean, if that's what you're limited to, you can't read, if you're not involved with books, it doesn't matter. This is an answer about, what about people who've never heard? Okay, so everybody figures, okay, here I am. I'm at a path. How did I get here? Accidentally or somebody placed it here. Okay, from this side, accidentally, I have to choose between accidentally or naturally the earth has existed forever. That's one choice. Or naturally, nothing created something out of nothing and created the earth. That's my choice. Or an intelligent being placed it here. Those are my three choices. Okay, so I'm going to sit down and analyze that. Think about that, okay? When I walk around and I see a building, okay, that building accidentally got there. I didn't see the construction. I didn't see the engineer. I didn't see the blueprints. So it must have just accidentally got there. You know, I posed that to a kid down in Purdue, and he looked at me like I was a nut. I said, "You think that building right there just accidentally got there through millions of years?" No, of course not. But yet, you think the more intricate earth just accidentally happened? So that's one choice. You know, they say, well, God can't exist eternally. Well, you think the earth existed eternally. You've got to choose. Those are the only choices. You know, you can beat these people logically. Okay, so I see a chair here. I've never seen it created. I don't know who built it. But there it is. Hey, it's even a little organized. Got that? It's got that. You know, there wasn't a tornado that came through, blew everything up, and now we got all these pews in wonderful order the way they are. I didn't see anybody put them in order. So logically, I can say that there was somebody intelligent that put these things in order. So when I look at a tree, when I look at the grass, when I look at nature, well, did that just accidentally happen? Well, they had a common ancestor. What if they had a common creator? Okay, so logically, Psalm 119, verse 30, the psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Okay, if a lot of Christians, I've told myself this several times, you know, when my prayers aren't answered or things aren't going the way I think they should be, you know, from God's perspective. Okay, and I say, okay, I just kind of like to dump this idea of the Bible and God. Okay, but what's my choice? My choice is this side. And logically, that don't even compute. So then I got to jump back on this side. Because that side don't even make sense. Okay, so that's number one choice. Creation, somebody put it here. Somebody very intelligently designed it, organized it. He was the architect. He did it, or it was all by accident. Now, let's stay on the accident side first. Okay, on the accident side first, that man evolved naturally through eons and eons of time. With history, this one you have to go to history. If you would, go to Romans chapter 1 as far as the Bible goes. Now, the Bible happened to show what happens when a society was raised or believes this accidental nature side. When a society believes that. Okay, now, we don't need the Bible to actually prove this point. You could use history books. Now, the problem with history books is that a lot of them maintain it. But you can still weed out some truth. When you go back and look at the history and read about the history of Israel, what were they like when their civilization ended? Rome, what's the history book say about Rome when their civilizations ended? Or Greece, Alexander the Great and Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. What does history books describe them at the end of their civilization? What about Media Persia and Babylon and Egypt? We go back to history. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 32, you'll read down through, if you use your speed reading skills, you'll see in verse 1 it talks about the wrath of God. I'm sorry, verse 18, Romans 1, 18, the wrath of God. And then it says, you see, as I mentioned, God is directly involved in this investigation of each of us of seeking the truth. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. that evolutionary kid in sophomore class, and I like to point out to sophomores, I said, do you guys know what sophomore means? No, I don't know. Sophomore, you don't know what that means. Look that up in a dictionary. Sophomore. And they said, what's it mean? I said, it means wise fool. You're welcome. Thank you very much. That's sophomore. Okay, as he sits in front of the college professor expounding upon biology and the evolutionary theory, where did that professor get his title? Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They think it's wise that I evolved from an orangutan. They think that's wise. I think it's kind of nuts. You know, they ought to put signs at Brookfield Zoo, don't feed former ancestors. You know, but okay, verse 19, God showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We understand some things by the things that are made. If we're walking in the mountains of Colorado, and as we're going through the mountains and we see a watch by a tree, what do I know? Well, I didn't see the watchmaker. I didn't see the owner. I don't think a monkey had it on his wrist and lost it up there, or an antelope. Maybe somebody flew an airplane by and it fell out. But I know one thing for certain. That didn't evolve accidentally out of nothing. That I know. I know it had a creator. I know it had an owner. I know it's organized. I know there was an outside force. Okay, so Romans 1:20, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now, if on the evolutionary side, this religion, if a person keeps traveling down that, their conscience keeps getting seared and more seared and more seared, where are they going to end up if they follow it to the end? Verse 24, 25, 26, 27, national sodomy. Okay? If you feel like a boy today, you're a boy. If you feel like a girl today, you're a girl, because you're vain in your imaginations. That's where we're at. That's the end of, that was the end of Sodom. That was the end of Israel. You find Israel in 2 Kings chapter 17, recorded in the Bible. That was the end of Rome. You read history about Rome in their closing days. Those Caesars and Herod, man, those guys were buys and all that stuff. That was Alexander the Great, his private tutor. Socrates, Aristotle. That was them. That was Babylon. That's Egypt. Every one of these nations, where did they end up? Romans chapter 1. It's all in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody believes the evolutionary theory, they're going to end there. Some people that believe the evolutionary theory have more character and morals than some people that believe in a creator. And some people that believe in the creator act like an atheist. Okay, but I am saying that's the choice. If a person keeps traveling down that road, the Bible lays it out. Romans chapter 1. And history bears witness of that. Okay, so personally, I've not chosen that way. So I have chosen the conclusion that there's a creator. Okay, so that's where I'm at. Okay, so I have chosen that there is a supreme being, so somehow I want to discover that supreme being. Be it God, be it Allah, be it Zeus, be it Mother Gaia, be it Ra, the ancient Ra, Nike. Okay, so that's the side I'm on. Okay, because I realized maybe it was some aliens from Mars that created this world. I don't know, that's what Richard Dawkins kind of came to conclusion. Okay, but hey, there he is. So what do we do with that? Now if you look at man, I see that man is different than animals. That's what I see. You could see that logically. You could see that if you got a dog or a cat or chickens, Okay, if you look at chickens, we got one rooster and about 18 hens. And he doesn't feel sorry about his mistreatment of the chickens. He mistreats them hens. Boy, does he mistreat them. He don't feel sorry. He doesn't have a guilt trip about forcing his way into the feed and pecks on one. The animals do not suffer from guilt. They don't. That is a unique trait that men and women do. So that makes us different. Raccoons, elephants, at the zoo, they do not suffer guilt feelings over the bad behavior they put on somebody else. We do. We do until we sear our conscience. So that tells us, logically, I'm different than an animal. Okay, animals don't wear clothes. I mean, these kids are so smart, you know, at these schools, you know, we're the same as animals. Okay, then, why don't you do an experiment right here? Strip yourself naked and walk around, don't feel funny. Yeah, they're going to feel funny. Why? Because they got that conscience. They've got that conscience. The ones down here at Ponderosa Sun Club, their conscience is pretty well seared. You know, but yet, when they come out of there, they put their clothes on. Okay, and so that I see, I recognize this, that, from conclusion number one, okay, I'm on the creation side, I see that man is different than animal. That's the second thing I discovered. Okay, that's just logical, just look at things. Okay, another thing I discover is that man, because of his guilt feelings, what does he do? He establishes religion. Religion is a band-aid to cover their guilt. So man is religious. I don't care where you go. If you go to the jungles of New Guinea, one tribe going after another tribe. One of them's worshiping the tree, one of them's worshiping the duck. I don't know what they're worshiping, but they are worshiping something. And they believe that there's got to be a sacrifice somewhere. That tells me man is religious. I don't care where you go. So I've got a creator. I've got man is different. He's got something in him that's different, that makes him think different about things. That's conscience. I see that man has religion. So now my third conclusion is, now what about all these religions? Okay, if you wanna try to minister in a jail, usually they're gonna make you take all these things, gonna sign all this stuff that you're not gonna purposely offend somebody and all this stuff, and you get a handbook with all these religions. I had a handbook, 26 different religions. You gotta study all these different religions so that you don't offend anybody in there. And I'm a good boy for about 3 months, and then I just start, just say what I want to say. And if they get all bent out of shape, so what? That's how it goes. Okay, but I see all these religions. Now, if you look at all these religions, you try, most of them, okay, all religions are the same. Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. What is the similarity of all religions? I don't care what it is, Taoist, Buddhist, okay? Obviously, maybe not Satanist, but, still at that. But one common thing is they believe in some form of goodness. That's a common trait. If you would, the one sentence summary Jesus gave for Judaism is found in Matthew 7, verse 12. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So here we got a creator. Here we have man that's got a conscience. Man develops a religion to band-aid his conscience and make him feel better about himself. So that's where religion's at. So now these religions believe in some form of goodness. Now the form of goodness might vary. Okay, they will vary. And if they get arguing about their form of goodness, they'll kill each other by saying, I'm more good than you. And they'll kill each other over it. You know, which, that's real logical. I'm going to prove it I'm more good than you. Whack! You know? And so that's how it goes. In the olden days, in a Mormon faith, they have a doctrine called blood atonement. Now they got to use hire Mormon hitmen to do this. But if you apostatize from the Mormon faith in the olden days, they would just sacrifice you. It's the only way to save you for eternity. Well, that's quite a ways to sacrifice somebody. Nowadays, they just do it through Hitman in Salt Lake City, where the coppers pull certain files out, you know, and files out here and files out there, and that person dies. Okay, so we see that religion, the common similarity is some form of goodness. Judaism, what was the goodness that Jesus summarized? Amazing how God summarizes things so in brevity. In Matthew 7, we know it as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you like somebody chewing you out when it's not necessary? Do you like somebody verbally abusing you when it's not called for? And then don't do it to somebody else. So man has this religion. And he's got this conscience. But you know what you discover? Nobody obeys their conscience all the time. What are you going to do about that? Well, I'll just ask for forgiveness. Of what? Yeah, go to the banker that you got borrowed money from and you missed about 10 payments and just go to him because, would you forgive me? I'll start paying again. Yeah, but what about the past ones? Oh, you're just supposed to forgive me. That's how people treat God. Okay, so we got creator, conscience, we got religion, we got everybody violates their conscience. That's what we got so far. But what makes somebody figure out a choice is you got to notice the differences. If you look at Greek mythology, okay, if you're on this side studying these religions, I'll try this Buddhism and I'll try this and Buddhism. Cross-legged, bong, bong. You know, I got to do that. That's Vietnam Buddhism. You know, and so I watched them over there. Islam, that's a pretty easy one. Kill anybody you don't like. Infidel. That's why it's the fastest growing religion in the jails. Okay, but even these Muslims got to admit that Muhammad didn't follow the Quran. And an honest Muslim will admit that. A dishonest one will not. Why? Because his conscience got seared. So here I am. Now I come across this Bible. I'm down this road, this way of truth. I'm walking down this way. I've dumped this idea because it's not scientific. I've dumped this idea because of its inconsistencies. Truth must be consistent. So here I am. I'm dealing with religion. All pagan gods are, look at them. Pagan gods are angry all the time. The god of fire, the god of wind. They're angry all the time. You never can appease their anger. And they are sexual deviants. All pagan gods are. Nike, the god Pan. As we have the saying, Pandora box. Open up a Pandora box. Read about the god Pan. The Homeric hymn of the god Pan. The goat god that runs through the wood playing his panpipes looking for little nymphs. And I looked up, what's a nymph? Man, Myth of Magic. It's about a 22-volume set. A nymph is a little girl. What is Pan doing? Oh, that's so poetic. He's a pervert that needs to be shot. That's what he is. That's what Allah is. That's what Muhammad is. I mean, that they don't follow what they say they claim to follow. The Buddhists, they don't got that. Mind over matter. Yeah, right. It's not mind over matter. They all violate their religion somewhere in there. But what's the solution? And that's what you discover. Man doesn't have a solution for his problem. He doesn't. How do they do it now? The educated folks' solution is go to the psychiatrist. What's the psychiatrist going to do? He's going to give you mind-altering medication. And you go to the public school, at least 30% of those kids are on mind-altering drugs. If you doubt it, come down to Wednesday night and watch the way the behavior of some of these kids. And sometimes they'll be as laid back as laid back, and sometimes they will be all fired up. And it's a medication. That's a psychiatrist. The psychiatrists aren't helping them, and the psychiatrist is the number one profession that has more suicides than any profession in the country. They don't have a solution. Man does not have a solution to his problem. So I got to go back to that God. So I'm looking at all these religions. I'm analyzing these religions. I see, okay, this guy don't follow this. They're liars here. They're hypocrites here. They're hypocrites here. Now here comes this Christianity thing along. And so I'm going to investigate that. So I'm going to look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a teacher. Muhammad was a teacher. Okay, that's a similarity. They say Jesus Christ is a prophet. The Bible says he's a prophet. But no, we're going to look with history. Jesus Christ is a prophet. They say Muhammad was a prophet. And I asked this Muslim, was Muhammad a prophet? He said, yeah. I said, could you give me one of his prophets? He said, no. I said, then he's not a prophet. I can give you a bunch of Jesus. So I'm looking at Jesus. Jesus Christ is consistent. Jesus Christ followed the Bible. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good. Acts chapter 10:38. That's what Peter said about Jesus. He went about doing good. Jesus Christ went about doing what religion claimed were supposed to do, and what did they do to him after 3.5 years? They killed him. That tells me Jesus Christ is unique. He's different. And there Pilate was in front of Jesus Christ, and he said, what is truth? And the Lord, you're looking at him, and he didn't even waste time with it. I mean, he walked out on it. He didn't listen to him. So here I am with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only person that ever walked this earth, the only one that's ever walked this earth who predicted the precise details of his death. He's the only one who's ever, that this calendar system that we have is based on. He's the only one that people use his name as a cuss word. There is no Muslim that says Muhammad a blankety blank. There's no Satanist that says Lucifer blankety blank. They don't do that. They say, Jesus Christ, that's unique. That's something totally different. You see, you get all this just by analyzing it. You see, what would a guy in a jungle, if he got to this point of all these religions and he didn't have the opportunity you have, I tell you what the God of the Bible would do. When he sees the heart of that Muslim kid in Saudi Arabia that got no hope of getting a gospel tract to him, God would give him a direct vision. That's what he would do. That's what he did with Paul or Saul. Or he would get some literature to him somehow. That's what he would do. Now, man, he's got the internet. He can sneak it through the internet. If that person is really searching for that way, if he is going down that way of truth to understanding, the God of the Bible jumps on that highway right beside him and helps him out. So now we're looking at Jesus Christ. He's totally different. Nobody's ever been like him. Nobody ever will be like him. I mean, even history proves the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how did I personally learn about Jesus Christ? Well, it came from this Bible. So I got me a religious book here, or some call it a religious book. And then I got, you know, then you can use the Buddhist literature. Then you can use the Watchtower. And then you can use the Pearl of Great Price and the Book of Mormon. And the Doctrines and Covenants. And you read these things, I see that this book is different. I see that this book is counterfeited. I see that this book is counterfeited in most Christians' bookstores, where you got an NIV, New American Standard, all this stuff, and I see that this one is still different. So I see Jesus is different. I see that that King James Bible is different. That's from analyzing. And so then I see I have chosen. What have I chosen? I have chosen that Jesus Christ is worthy of my worship and of my praise. That's from analyzing things. First Timothy chapter 1, Muhammad's not worthy. He's not worthy of it. Confucius, he's not worthy of it. Karl Marx, Mao Zedong, they're not worthy of it. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what I've like the psalmist, I have chosen the way of truth. And then in the Proverbs, the way of understanding. So now, face to face with Jesus Christ, and I see, boy, he's different. There's nobody like him. Now, okay, after accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, that guilt went away. How'd that go away? I didn't ask for that guilt to go away. I just believed in what Jesus Christ did, and that guilt went away. Wow, man, I didn't expect that. And then my eyes get opened up, and I start seeing things differently than what I didn't. Wow, I didn't see that before. I start seeing things differently. And so now I see Jesus Christ is the answer. And this book, and so if I'm going to search something else, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Jesus Christ and his book and figure that out. Colossians chapter 2, and when you do that, now you have opened up, you're at the end of this path, the truth and understanding, and now there's a branch here, there's a branch there, there's a branch here, a branch there, of other areas of truth that Jesus Christ can lead you down. Because all truth comes through Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. That's the path I want. I want to be able to understand. And he said, full assurance of understanding. Oh, it's like, oh, why do we have war in the world? Oh, that's easy. It's because somebody wants something that doesn't belong to them. James chapter 4 says that. Now, the war is just somebody in a big position that wants something that doesn't belong to him, and he makes about people in a lower position do his fighting for him. If he's just a common man, then he would just break in somebody's house and take something, and then they'd have a fight. And so, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And then, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Jesus Christ. And if you read some of the stories of some of the great inventors in the past, Samuel Morse, Thomas Edison, a lot of those guys will say, I got the idea from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, I'll give you knowledge to find out witty inventions. Proverbs 8, 13. Right in there. That book's again. It all is right in there. And it's this way of understanding. And the thing is once we get going down that way of understanding, if we get off the road, boy, that's the bad news. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Now, I don't know how far down the road this guy's got to be traveling, but it's a pretty bad warning. He says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Now, I don't know how absolute that is for a New Testament, but that's something. I know in the New Testament that if a person gets off that way of understanding, two things are going to happen to them, is their conscience is going to get seared or blistered, or they're going to get blinded. And they forfeit the opportunity for other truths. If they get back on the highway, then the conscience kind of gets cleared up a little bit if they confess it, and then their eyes kind of get opened up, and then they can start traveling down the road again. But man, they lost all that time. And so this is what the psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. And you see, this is what, one time a male witch asked me why I believed what I believed. And my answer was, empirical proof. He goes, oh, never heard that before. And I said, well, I guess somebody didn't have the proof that I've got to show you. And then I took the opportunity to start showing them. What a blessing. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people that know what we believe and why we believe it. And help us to be on this mega highway of truth, even though it's straight and narrow like the Bible says, but help us to stay on that highway of truth and understanding. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be people that seek after the truth of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he's the standard, and he's given us a book that, by which is a standard. That we can judge errors that appear to be truthful that may not be truthful. But Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God, and like the Psalm says, Psalm 27, Lord, it says, lead me in a plain path. Lord, please lead me in a plain path so that I might understand the truth in order to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll be dismissed with